Welcome to the Ortho Joe Podcast, a joint production of the Journal of Bone and Joint Surgery and Ortho Evidence. Join hosts Mohit Bhandari and Mark Swankowski as they discuss current topics and publications in the world of orthopedics and beyond.
Well, good afternoon, Mo.
Good afternoon, Mark.
I understand you're at headquarters in Needham.
I'm in headquarters today. Yeah, it was a very busy day. Doing the work of the journal that you know so well. So yes, been busy today.
Well, that's good. I'm, I think day 18 from a knee replacement, which would have gone a lot better had I not got this severe upper respiratory thing about a week ago. Mm-hmm. So although I don't have coffee, I have a cup of herbal tea to try to maintain my voice.
Very good. I have this lovely, lovely branded, as you can imagine, ceramic cup. Now, it's filled with water rather than coffee because it is in the afternoon. I've had my share this morning. So we're going to be, I've got enough caffeine in me to keep me pretty oriented to what we're going to talk about today.
And I would have thought you would have been starting early on the wine tasting in the office.
But that's true. No, tomorrow. Tomorrow is the group function. So I'm sure we'll be partaking in. Lots of festive drinks, I imagine.
Yeah, it's appropriate this time of year. So listen, this is just a conversation between me and you. We have no guest. And I was looking at the most recent publication of the journal and came upon an interesting article on telehealth, on validation of the accuracy of some clinical measures. But I have really seen my partners at multiple sites in the Twin Cities really adopting virtual visits through telehealth and seemingly like it as much as in-person visits. And so I just want to start out, is it a thing in Canada as well?
I mean, I have to tell you that, 5 years ago, no one really spoke about it. I mean, I don't think we even talked about Zoom, let alone telehealth. But I will tell you that since COVID, let's say post-2020, especially heightened 2021, just Canadian surgeons just got used to the idea of being able, for no other reason, there was no other choice. If you wanted to be able to examine patients or at least see patients and consultations, it became very important in the early initial visit phase, and it's especially became valuable in the follow-up phase. And I think a lot of that, Mark, is carried on because, when you realize the inefficiency sometimes of patients having to drive for several hours to get to maybe a specialist office for something that could be something that could have easily been addressed with a short call and maybe a quick checkup, I think those are becoming much more, fairly routine, I would say, in a lot of groups, especially for distance. So I think it was for everyone before, but I do think now we're starting to see a bit more telehealth targeted for, specific situations.
Yeah. Well, what I'm seeing just around town here is maybe up to 15% of new patient visits. And again, clinicians happy with it, and close to 50% for follow-ups. And again, clinicians happy with it. So I think it's a real thing, and I don't think it's going to die off. I wouldn't guess it would.
Well, actually, you know what? I mean, in preparation, I did actually look up a paper just on the issue of how much it was used. So before maybe you present the actual paper, we want to talk about how it fares. But pre-COVID, this is a paper that came out by Hurley and colleagues in 2021. So right around like the peak, really, near the peak of COVID, whether it was the first or second wave, depending on where you were, in the TeleMed Journal of eHealth. This came out in 2021 and basically surveyed about just under 300 surgeons, orthopedic surgeons. And at that time, 85% were using, some form of telehealth or telemedicine. Prior, it had been 20%. So there was you can just see it, immediately a fourfold increase in usage at that time. Exactly to your point, through varying degrees of satisfaction, they narrowed it down post-COVID to 3 out of 4, maybe 70-75% using it for initial visits, like that initial evaluation of new patients and deciding, who to triage and who to bring in. And 8 out of 10, so you said 5 out of 10 or so, but 8 out of 10 using follow-ups. So I think that's come down a little bit probably, but it's been sustained post-COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the issues I think more pertinent for initial visits is the accuracy of clinical measurements and clinical evaluations. And that's what this particular manuscript is about. It is from the Boston Children's Hospital, the lead author, Dr. Farid. And this is a group who validated examination maneuvers for adolescent idiopathic scoliosis in a telehealth setting. And they took a cohort of 73 patients and did three different measurement techniques, focusing primarily on the angle of trunk rotation. So they did it in two ways via the telehealth evaluation. One, using an instructional video guidance and a smartphone app with internal accelerometer software. So that was the first. The second was made during the telehealth examination, performed by caregivers with supervision by trained associates via telehealth. And then finally, the same patients were brought in and were measured in an in-person clinic visit. Then they did inter-class correlation coefficients and inter-rater reliability, compared the two telehealth measurements versus the at-home. And what they found in this cohort of a mean age of 14 years, 25% male, excellent agreement in the trunk rotation measurements between telehealth visits and in-person visits with a confidence interval of 0.83 to 0.92. The trunk rotation agreement between at-home and in-person visits was also excellent, but was slightly diminished. So, and there were other measures that didn't fare as well as the trunk rotation. One of them was a lower back asymmetry, but they concluded that the level of agreement is high and that these measurements done via telehealth seem valid. So this to me seems to be an early study that needs to be reproduced in just about every aspect of our remote evaluations in order to have some confidence, again, particularly with a new patient visit, that what we're seeing, whether or not it's controlled via an app and a tutorial or by people in the room with the patient, is accurate. So I just think it's a pathway that we need to, I think, broaden the free, to make it a freeway to be sure that what we're seeing via telehealth is appropriate to make treatment decisions.
Yeah, you know, and I would say to you, true, that like just in the next 12 months, just watch how efficient telehealth becomes, telemedicine becomes with the advent of use of AI technology. Because, you know, some of the lowest hanging fruit, Mark, as you know, for AI is image evaluation and assessment very quickly, right? So, you know, right now we have the, you know, a patient, you know, either taking a picture and sending it in, or, you know, there's something live happening, you know, you're trying to get someone to measure something. But imagine a situation where, you know, all they have to do is take a picture of the affected area, and that can immediately be evaluated, sensed, you know, triggered, and that can, you know, be sent immediately to a physician that can determine if it's high risk or low to make that phone call. Like, you know, so you can imagine how AI is going to have pretty dramatic changes in the efficiency and, I would imagine, cost effectiveness of telehealth. Because, I mean, Nick, just looking at the time spent for so many patients waiting, you know, just to get in or transfer, if you can give them answers that give them a sense, that give them a clear yes, no, or treatment path, that's, you know, that's what you're trying to do, right? And you want to do it without harm.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Mo. You've written a bunch about personal relationships and developing professional and personal relationships, and that face-to-face is way more valuable.
100%.
Do you believe that that is the same for a treating physician and patient interaction?
Right. So this is where I wonder about, you know, where the real value comes into play. So I see that there's been a lot of folks saying, okay, for the initial visit, I just have, you know, such a massive backlog. Can I interact with patients who don't need to actually come and see an orthopedic surgeon? Yeah. And can we do that triage in a way so they can get off the list and get on to getting treatment and health elsewhere that would benefit them? I can see the value of that. You know, we have waiting lists in Canada. I certainly don't know what the range is here in the US, but I imagine it's also long depending on the subspecialty. But you could be waiting 18 months to see a surgeon in an extreme case. Like, it's not, you know, foot and ankle surgeon and consults can be, you know, well over 12 months, right?
Wow.
So, you know, and for spine, I don't want to get into it, what happens with spine and back pain, right? Chronic back pain that's still on a list to see. Most spine surgeons just can't get through that list ever. So they're really looking to triage. And so I see the value for them, but I think truly where telehealth makes most sense is, you know, you've engaged with the patient, you've had an interaction, you've operated, you've treated them, and now you're looking at routine follow-up. You have that relationship already. So once you've had the face-to-face and you've built that trust, I hope, and you've built that relationship, the follow-up makes an intuitive great deal of sense. And if you actually look at sort of what the research was suggesting, like, you know, there's been a lot of systematic reviews and trials done on follow-up, you know, follow-up post-hip and knee surgery, follow-up post-spine, follow-up for a host of issues, because it makes sense that maybe in the early phases, you'd see the patient, it'd be a hybrid, like you'd see them maybe, you know, at, you know, 2 weeks, 6 weeks, but then 3 months, 6 months, 9 months could all be done through telemedicine. So I think to your point, it's absolutely correct in that there is no substitute for real meaningful connection and communication. I don't think you would get that. But I can't imagine anybody deciding to operate on a patient through a telehealth visit, right? And then making the decision that, come on in, we'll come right into the merge, unless it's something.
Yeah, an emergency.
Yeah, emergency. Yeah. But in an emergency, you wouldn't be doing a phone call with a video. Right. And you'd be right in emergent anyway. So right. I tend to agree with your point that it's a bit of a mixed bag. While it's efficient, it as your only source, I don't think there's too many surgeons for sure that are using it, you know, solely as their only way of interacting. I think all of us know and just intuitively know it's important to engage, yeah, face-to-face.
Yeah. Well, it looks like you're going to have lots of material submitted to the journal in the coming years about validation of various measures and
absolutely
image capture and what's the best way to do it, clinical images, what's the best way to capture and report. And it's a connected world.
Oh, it sure is. It sure is. Well, I'll tell you, like, to your point, right? I went ahead and did a search on ortho evidence to see what, you know, what we've been publishing. And we did an OE original report, again, right in the heat, you could say towards the tail end of at least the waves of COVID, but it was April of 2022. And it was really a comparison of follow-up versus telemedicine versus in-person visit. So, sorry, follow-up via telemedicine versus in-person. It was a systematic review and meta-analysis of 7 randomized trials, actually. And as you would expect, obviously the quality of trials, you can argue here and there, but they were randomized trials. And no real difference in, you know, in the outcomes that they measured. So patient satisfaction, no real difference. Post-operative pain, ultimately, as a result of both approaches, no real difference. Or incidence of new complications or complications between groups, there was no difference. So certainly, I mean, even the early signals were, it seems to be safe. Now, there could be confounding there, as we all know. But principally speaking, it seemed to be safe. And it also seemed quite reasonable, as I said to you, that there was this hybrid approach. So there would be, for example, patient satisfaction was fine with, it seemed to be a little bit more favoring telemedicine, because you can imagine just the efficiency. In-person follow-up was favored in the short period. So patients said, okay, you know, I like telemedicine overall, but in the first couple of weeks, I kind of want to see the surgeon. So that was the point estimate at 2 weeks and at 6 weeks, where inpatient follow-up seemed to be a little more valued than telemedicine. But exactly as you can imagine, at 12 weeks and at longer, right back to telemedicine. Telemedicine, again, being it's much more efficient. So, you know, it's going to be a hybrid approach, and the evidence seems to support that. But overall, no big differences. That's good. That's reassuring.
Yeah. So maybe we're kind of coalescing around great for follow-up once you have an established relationship, and maybe for a first visit to determine whether or not the patient should actually make the trip in for an evaluation.
Yeah.
Sounds like that's kind of where we are, at least at this point in history.
Absolutely. And you know, as you said, it's going to just going to, the whole landscape's going to change in 12 months, because the whole landscape of artificial intelligence and machine learning and all these other adjunctive tools that are going to be helpful to us in making these decisions are just going to get better and better and better.
Yeah. Well, good. As I mentioned, I had my knee replaced, and my 2-week visit was in person.
There you go. There you go. And I imagine things are going as planned, and you've kind of got the routine going. At 6 months, you may not want to go in, right? You may be happy with a phone call. That would be the way that others are thinking anyway.
No, I think what's going to happen is every week, the surgeon's going to watch me walk down the hallway and and tell me to stop by if he doesn't like what he sees.
I hear you. I like that. Yeah. I like that. Yeah, fair enough. You are unique there. Yes, that's fair.
Yeah.
Well, listen, wishing you a speedy recovery regardless.
Yeah. Well, thanks. It's been great chatting as always, Mo.
No problem. And again, great, great paper, good find. And there's lots more to be said about telehealth and telemedicine in the upcoming year.
For sure.